Welcome to The Lay Disciple, a ministry of Truth Seekers Fellowship. This has been a great week of lessons, and we've learned a lot about Satan and occult practices. It's important that we know who the enemy is, his mission, his tactics, and what our part in the battle is. Join us now as lay teacher Tom Murray teaches about occult practices.
Welcome back to our studies in The Lay Disciple, and we're in our 35th broadcast on the demons, and there's been a lot of interest by those of you that are listening. We've been surprised by the number of you that have called our office for tapes or who have wanted to know more about this, and I hope it's helpful to you, not just to be different or unusual, but to help you realize that there really are forces at work out there that are constantly pulling in our lives and can take us into terrible consequences. Well, I wanted to pick up today with the fifth characteristic of occult practices, and that is that they require you to get into a meditative or a passive state. In other words, a demon cannot take control of your mind or your person unless you allow them to do it. That's why I really discourage anyone from allowing themselves to be hypnotized. Any hypnotist will tell you that they cannot hypnotize you unless you allow them to do it. Now, I do know in some cases where there are Christian hypnotists who are able to, someone who has had a traumatic experience, that is, either just a tragic thing has happened and they're shell-shocked, or they've had a memory loss because of some particular incidents. And as a medical practice in psychiatric treatment, that when they can hypnotize this person, they can actually relax them mentally to the point that they can get their conflict out in the open, or that they can learn what it is this person can't remember. However, that's not what occult hypnotism is about. So let me just say that if there were a case where someone did need a medical sort of hypnosis so that they could, for medical reasons, by a Christian psychiatrist who can use hypnotism, then here's what I suggest. You have to get into a meditative or a passive state where the hypnotist actually, by your consent, takes control of your mind and you. Now, if that's going to be true, you want to be sure it's a Christian that is in that control, but there's a second requirement that I would have, and that is you must have other Christians in the room who are observing everything the hypnotist is doing in taking that control, the kinds of questions that he or she asks, and the direction that they are taking you in. They must also be very careful to observe that when the hypnotist has finished and has accomplished the purpose, that they release you from any control that they have exercised over you during that session and put you totally back under your own control. Personally, if at all it can be avoided, I recommend that you never, ever put your mind out of control and allow anyone to ever take control of your mind or your spirit. So, a demon cannot take control of any person unless that person allows it to happen. And that's why in much of the occult world, where there are all kinds of meditations, what you are told to do is to release your mind, for instance, in much of the meditations, and to become one, if you will, with the universe. Sometimes you are giving a mantra to repeat over and over again, but the whole idea in some of those Eastern meditations is for you to turn loose of the control of your mind and just go, if you will, with the forces that are working. I can't think of a better way to open yourself up to demonic control, because you are emptying yourself of your mind and your will, and you are neutralizing your mind so that a demon can actually take control. Now, any kind of activity that neutralizes your mind and causes you to let go of your will allows the will then to be thrown up for grabs to anyone in the demonic spirit world. Now, there's another characteristic of many occult practices that create a strange magnetism. And it at the same time, it not only draws people to occult things, but it actually scares them as well. Many people crave the power and the knowledge that they are told the occult practices promise to reveal and to give to them. But once they begin to get involved in the occult and they begin to get entangled, there develops within them a deep underlying fear of the very source of the power and the knowledge that they are gaining. Now, these that I have gone over with you are the six characteristics of the occult world, and they will tend to entrap people into the practice and into being involved in the demonic world. You remember these six things. First of all, there is contact with the demonic world in the occult practices. It always involves uncovering hidden knowledge or gaining power that is not from God. Occult practices promise to give you that power. They also can be passed to the third and the fourth generations. And also, they require you to originally surrender your mind and your will in order to get the maximum benefit from these particular occult practices. Now I want to talk to you about the different facets and the different specifics of some of the occult practices. The demonic world has set so many traps for people, including Christians, that there are literally almost untold numbers of ways that people can get involved in the occult world. And in the process, they entrap themselves in the darkness of demonism. Let me just give you a few of the ways in which Satan and his demons entrap people. To begin with, there is the custom of wearing certain kinds of amulets on the arms or the wrist. Sometimes these amulets are merely harmless good luck charms, like a rabbit's foot. But other elements really have a definite attachment to the occult world, such as wearing the signs of the zodiac or wearing a goat's head. And they should be avoided at all costs. If you go to any of the occult shops where you can buy, these are the very things you can buy there. Occult signs of the zodiac, and those who worship Satan actually symbolize that by the goat head. Now, astrology, or what we call horoscope, has become one of the most common means of people getting involved in the occult. There is all kinds of different ways that people try to do fortune telling, and that too involves some involvement with the occult world, such as reading tea leaves or reading palms of people's hands, or even the tarot cards that you run into. But when it comes to astrology, what we call the horoscopes, that is very prevalent. And you will find horoscopes in the majority of the newspapers throughout the world. Now, Christians should have no involvement with astrology. They ought not to worry about which sign they are born under in the zodiac, and they should not read or meditate upon what astrology or the signs of the zodiac hold for them on any particular day. Now, the practice of magic can also be another type of getting people involved in the occult. By magic, I do not mean to refer to what you would call professional magicians who do magic and they are trained to do illusions, and their profession is based upon tricks or the sleight of hands so that they can entertain people. But there's another kind of magic which has a source of real demonic power. The kind of magic I'm talking about is not the kind of magic that an entertainer magician would use just to entertain you. Everything he or she does is just deception. But now the power of magic is demonic is what I want to talk about. In this particular realm of the occult, people often make distinctions between black magic and white magic. They define black magic as being produced by the evil forces of Satan, while white magic is from good forces like God or angels or other good forces. But that kind of distinction is nothing but a demonic deception, because there is no such thing, as far as God's concerned, as to black or white magic, because in that kind of magic, it all has its sources in the power and the practices of demons. And any kind of magic involving elements such as healings or causings of disease in people, the making or the breaking of spells, that kind of magic is simply part of the demonic world and the activity of fallen angels or demons. Now, there's another widespread use of fortune telling in our world today, and that is the use of card laying. And there are various forms of card laying that you can find being used which demonstrate this occult practice. While some of these areas are merely fraudulent card laying and they're money-making ventures by charlatans, there is a type of card laying that is practiced based upon occult power, meaning when the person lays the card and gives you a predictive prophecy about your life, it actually will come true. Well, it has its source of power in the activity of demons. It is not a deception just as a charlatan making money. It actually is the power of demons. And for this reason, any practice of card laying that is going to give you knowledge or power beyond your five senses should be avoided at all costs by every God-fearing person. Well, I see I'm out of time, so I'll pick up the clairvoyance or the ones like that in our next broadcast.
Thanks, Tom. And friend, we want to thank you for joining us today and hope that these lessons are blessing you and helping you to mature in Christ. I hope you'll take a few minutes now to visit our website at www.milktomeat.org. While there, you can sign up for our free newsletter, hear the radio programs, and correspond with us through email. Again, the address is www.milktomeat.org. I also hope that you'll tell your friends about the program and the website so that they can visit too. If you have any questions or want to order a tape of the program, call us at 901-685-3385 or toll free 866-685-3385. See you next time right here for The Lay Disciple.